this is the call, the monthly call that Mass DEP holds with wastewater operators across the Commonwealth. My name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of Mass DEP. And first and foremost, I want to wish everybody a happy, healthy new year. We look forward to working with you in the months ahead. And we look forward to our continued collaboration. On the call with me is Kathy Baskin, who is not only our assistant commissioner for water programs, but also the person that's facilitating this call, which I very much appreciate. And Leldon Langley, Mary Beth Chubb from her staff are also, and leaders of the wastewater program are also on from the Boston office. And we have representatives of each of our regional offices on the call as well. A reminder that this call is being recorded. We, as always, post a copy of the recording on the Mass DEP website that has resources for water and wastewater utilities. And this recording will be posted there as well. We are also fortunate that we are joined when we do these calls by EPA. I believe we have Denny Dart and Jeff Kopf on the call from EPA Region 1 today. If it's all right, I might ask Denny to unmute herself and provide any updates that she'd like to provide from EPA.
Hi, Commissioner. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, very good. So I'm Denny Dart from EPA, and I just have one announcement. I wanted to remind operators about the 2020 sludge report, sewage sludge biosolids, and which due by February 19th of each year. Fortunately, these are now electronically submitted, so easier in times of COVID. There is a system that is requires use of CDX, which I'm sure you're all familiar with through NBDS. There will be virtual training on how to submit the biosolids reports, and I'll post the information in the chat. I also gave a copy to Kathy Baskin for the meeting notes. I just wanted to mention that the biosolids reports are all going to Kansas City. They are handled centrally by an office that is doing biosolids for the whole country. So I can answer questions, but I will probably end up directing you to Kansas City if you have questions. So that's all I had to announce today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Denny. Much appreciated. We also have John Murphy to discuss our operator training and licensing. John, if you have any updates, if you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself and providing those, we'd much appreciate it.
Yes, thanks, Commissioner. Just a note, we are, starting in 2021, we are in a renewal year. So just a reminder that there's plenty of training opportunities available out there. So make sure you get your 20 TCHs before the end of this year, December 31st, 2021. If you are struggling to find available training, please reach out to me. And NWPIC and JETSI have put together a good list of online training available. And, you know, there's webinars, technical training, vendor training, conferences. There's plenty of different stuff. EPA is putting on a bunch of different trainings. So there's a lot available. For operators who are looking to prepare for the exam, the NWPIC MWAT training schedule is coming out soon and will be starting in mid-February. So anyone preparing for exams. Let's see, also the NWEA annual conference, if you're looking for training hours there, January 26th, 28th, February 2nd, and February 4th. So it's a good opportunity to pick up some training hours there. The board meeting held its last meeting on December 16th, and all applications were processed. Next one is scheduled for February 16th. So any applications, please get completed and submitted by then. And that's it from the Board of Certification. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. Thank you, as always, for the update and for the work that the board is doing. And thanks for sticking around in case there are any questions when we open up the line for questions and answers. There were two questions that came up. It started coming up in the last call we did in December, and and are continue to be topics of interest. And I'll give you the latest that we have on that. First of all, vaccines. In December, you know, there were questions about where wastewater and wastewater utility staff will fall in the planning for administering vaccines. And in later December, you know, the governor did publish the Massachusetts vaccine plan. And many of you would have probably already seen it. There is something up on the website. We are also going to post it on our website that identifies water and wastewater utility staff as some of the essential workers that are included in phase two, and therefore would be expected to receive the vaccine. Right now, it's the February or March timeframe. We have gotten questions about the specifics about how that would be administered. I think that is still something that is being worked on. As you know, the Commonwealth is working still on phase one. You may have seen some of the recent news about first responders receiving their vaccines. I know there's interest in terms of, you know, a lot of the details of it. You know, as has been pointed out, there as they get closer to the date for the phase one people, there is a lot of details about the where's, when's, how's, and I would expect that those details will be developed for phase two in the near future, and we will certainly keep you posted on it. We did get questions from people that say, well, you know, it's important to make sure that this includes employees, not just from municipal facilities, but from independent and regional facilities. And this echoes some of the discussions we had early on in the pandemic about the definition of essential workers, where it was pointed out that, you know, we do have municipal, we have regional employees of these types of utilities, and we even have private operators. And it was important, you know, at the time, at the beginning of the pandemic, to define all of them as essential workers. And similarly, we are taking your comment and making sure that it is factored into planning, you know, by our work with our liaison to the command center to make sure that, you know, it recognizes all of you for being in the same boat in terms of getting vaccines. And we will keep you posted on that. We will keep you posted on the you know, any additional guidance or planning we get, whether it fits in with our calls or whether we need to do extra and special communication, you know, in between. We will make sure that we are all sharing information, and we'll have more details when they become available. The other area was revenue relief. This is a topic that a number of you have talked about with us over the months, recognizing the financial impacts, not only right now, but anticipated moving forward. You know, people that, you know, the revenue impacts of people being unable to pay their bills timely and other economic factors. Right before the holidays, Congress did pass two pieces of legislation, a COVID Relief Act and also an Appropriations Act. And it looks to us like there was some assistance in both. I will say that we have been in touch with our secretariat as well as our Office of Administration and Finance. And I think so far, I think there hasn't been a lot of detail yet. I'm not sure the money has been distributed yet to the states. It looks like in both cases, you know, there's formulas for distributing monies to the states. The first account is, you know, helping out renters, you know, economically disadvantaged renters. And there's a pot of money available for that. And the language of the legislation appears to talk about paying utility bills. So we will be looking for more information and continuing to work with our partners at ANF to find out that information. The second was in the actual Appropriations Act, not the COVID bill, but the Appropriations Act, $638 million nationwide for low-income water and wastewater ratepayers. And again, these are people that are struggling to pay their bills. Again, it's $638 million. As we understand it, there's a formula for distributing that money to the states based on two criteria for, based on income levels, how far below the poverty line, the percent of households with incomes less than 150% of the federal poverty line, and then the number of households paying more than 30% of income on housing. So once that formula is agreed, the money will be, provided to the states, and then the states will be responsible for, working with utilities to administer that. And so we will, we are looking to make sure that we have the most up-to-date guidance on it. We will make sure that we are pushing it out. But again, this is new, and we're still looking to see how the federal government will be making these distributions and what ground rules they may put on the funding when they provide it. So more to come on that. So with that, I think those are our updates on the questions that we've received. With that, I might ask if, there's either questions that have come in on our chat line or anything else that's been emailed to Kathy Baskin, or if you'd like to just unmute yourself and ask something. This is a good time too. I'll ask Kathy if we have any written questions that have come in since the start of the call.
Thank you, Commissioner. So we have a couple of things that have come up. First of all, I know Denny, thank you very much for putting your information in the chat. It seems as though the links are not working for everybody. And so I have put my email in the chat also. If folks want me to send Denny's email with all the links to the trainings and other information directly to them, just let me know. I've already sent it out to one person. So feel free to email me.
And Kathy, maybe we could put those links up on our website after the call as well.
Yep, we can do that too. So both direct contact with me or our website. Another thing is Commissioner Tom O'Donovan from New Hampshire DES is on the call today, and he's offered to talk a little bit about the vaccines and the vaccination program going on up in New Hampshire. I thought that would be something people might be interested in hearing.
Sure. Go ahead, Tom. We'd be interested in your state experience. Again, we want to make sure that people understand what Tom's talking about is New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously we're going to have more to learn on the Massachusetts rollout, but Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner. We learned so much from these calls. We appreciate the opportunity to sit in. On the vaccine side, two key points to your thoughts. We also are trying to ensure that wastewater, drinking water, and waste workers are covered in the phase 1B or phase 2, different numbers used in different states, but basically in the follow-on vaccine next phase. We have provided to our planners the December 16th memo that came out of the Critical Infrastructure Security Administration that designates what is critical infrastructure workers, and wastewater and drinking water workers are in there. And I can send that link if you don't already have it, if your team's not already using it. So that's kind of where we're at on vaccine planning.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks for participating on these calls. And yeah, that December 16th guidance, I think we do have it. And, we've tried to, make sure that we're staying plugged into the planning efforts. And I certainly think there's a recognition that, utility operators, for water and wastewater, are essential workers. And for all the reasons when planning started to respond to the COVID, all the reasons why it's important to make sure that they're, designated as essential employees. I think there's been recognition in some of the documents that the Commonwealth has produced, in addition to the federal work. And, we'll try to make sure that carries through in the in the vaccine administration process. And like I said, I've appreciated this group and the drinking water group, you know, clarifying that, you know, it's important to, you know, focus, you know, make sure that we're hitting everybody that works in this field, whether you're a municipal employee, an employee of a regional organization, or even a private employee that, you know, is serving to provide these services to different types of systems. So, you know, more to come on that, and, you know, appreciate the comments.
Commissioner, we also had a question sent in from Mickey Nowak, who's the executive director of Mass Water Environment Association. And he was asking, has anyone used BioBot or a similar type of technology to check for COVID-19 in wastewater effluent? So I know we've been looking at influent. Also, could you point out where facilities can access the list of approved labs for PFAS testing in wastewater? And I know that the we can get the approved lab list for PFAS testing in wastewater on our website. If it's not there already, it probably is. And I'm sorry, I don't know the link, but I can get that. As folks probably are aware, there's not an approved EPA methodology for the analysis of PFAS in wastewater. However, commercial laboratories have been submitting their standard operating procedures to our lab, the Wall Experiment Station, for approval. And as they are approved, then they can be used for, you know, for analyses of wastewater or residuals. And so, you know, I'll make sure I know where that link is and get that either in the chat, or we'll put it on, I'll send it to Mickey and we can make sure it's online. So the question that still stands is, has anyone used the BioBot for checking for COVID-19 and wastewater effluent?
Interesting question. As you say, Kathy, we've been focused on looking at the influence to see if it's, you know, helpful as a predictive tool for the health authorities. I don't know, maybe we can open up and see. I can't see the chat. I'm still having my Wi-Fi issues here, so I'm on the phone, but I don't know if anybody's weighing in on the chat or if anybody would like to weigh in verbally to see, to let people know if they're looking at effluent as well as the influent to the wastewater facilities.
I only see a response from David Gray of Nantucket, who says they are sampling influent only. So I haven't seen anybody else weigh in.
Can I weigh in verbally really fast?
Sure, please do.
My name's Alyssa Beck. I'm at the town of Greenwich. We do test with BioBot. They only test influent because, you know, you want to know what's coming in your plant to learn about what's in your community. I think that the general scientific consensus, sorry, I have a toddler with me. I think the general consensus is that wastewater treatment plants, like our normal process, is sufficient for, I guess, disinfecting the virus. And I attended WEF Tech this year, and a couple people talked about, you know, it the genetic material likely makes it through the plant into your effluent, but an actual infectious intact virus does not. I know that BioBot is really interested in talking with people that are interested in this. So if you reach out to BioBot just on their website and their chat thing and ask them for more information, they'd probably be really happy to talk about effluent testing and anything they know about it.
Terrific. Thanks for that update. And, you know, useful to good information to have. And any other comments on this topic? Anybody else have?
Yes, Commissioner, we also heard from MWRA, who says that they test influent only as well. So there, it seems as though there's consensus, Hadley, influent only. So it really sounds like, as Alyssa said, that BioBot's focusing on influent. Right. We haven't heard anything right about effluent. We do have a new question, and this is from someone who's asking, if I work at a wastewater plant and work in one state but live in another, which state should I get vaccinated in?
That is a really great question. I think we're going to have to take that back to the command center. You know, I could see it playing out of, you know, different ways, depending on how the vaccines are administered. That's a really good question, though, and we will try to get an answer to it.
And let's see, I'm not seeing any other questions right now. Let me just check in my email. Sometimes they come in there.
Good. And just to be clear, it might, you know, we have a lot of detailed people. Is the person asking the question someone that's traveling into Massachusetts to work, or a Massachusetts mm-hmm. resident traveling elsewhere? I'm not sure it'll make a difference, but I like to be prepared when we engage in these discussions.
Oh, that's a really good question. Hopefully our the person who, David, if you could just let us know if you're living or working in Massachusetts, that would be really helpful. And I see we do have another question that came in. Let's see. He was worried that the call, last month's call, may have addressed this, but he wasn't able to make it. And let's see, with the great news about the vaccine availability increasing and the availability spreading down the list, I was curious as to how we might be notified or able to receive the vaccine with first responders such as EMTs, fire, and police. They're rather easy to identify via a badge or some similar identification. Wastewater and water operators look normal. And so it might be difficult for them to be identified as needing the vaccine. So anyhow, he's looking for guidance on how the next tier of essential workers will be identified for vaccination.
No, really, really great question. And it does echo a little bit, you know, in the beginning of the pandemic response. I remember this group, and, you know, we talked about this, like, what form of identification would you need? What do you need to show? And so that question is, a logical question to ask. I don't know that we have the details on it yet. But, you know, it's very much the type of things that we're communicating with the command center on. And again, as Damon Gutterman of our drinking water program pointed out, there's a lot of detail for phase one, you know, which is, you know, healthcare workers, first responders now on the types of things they need to do. So, you know, clearly there's going to be more detail around the phase two recipients. And, you know, again, we're working hard to make sure that your programs are, you know, have the answers they need. But right now I couldn't say this is the way it's going to work. They're still working on it, but we will share it with you when we know it.
Let's see. So for a point of clarification, Commissioner, the person who was asking about the vaccination coming from another state is a New Hampshire resident and works in Massachusetts.
Okay, that's helpful to know, and we'll try to get answers, you know, if you will, both ways. But it's helpful to know, you know, in this particular case, so we're talking about somebody out of state coming into state. Because, you know, again, if depending on how the plans are laid out, I think, you know, we might get that question. So we'll follow up on that.
I think from a New Hampshire point of view, since New Hampshire got brought up, I think the logic that I would propose would be the basis for getting a vaccine is the work that the person does. Therefore, somewhat follows that the state where they work would be the one to vaccinate them. But that would be sort of my initial logic looking at it.
Yep. No, it might well work that way. you know, again, just because, you know, so much is being set up so quickly right now, you know, again, I just as soon make sure we're right. But I hear what you're saying. And I'm, you know, I know a lot of thoughtful people are looking at this right now.
Let's see, we have a couple of other questions. First of all, there's a comment from Denny Dart, who says the biosolids links for training and support are now working. So that's great. Thank you so much, Denny, for helping or working on that behind the scenes. And we do have another question here. From Melissa Beck, I'm curious if any facilities have had COVID positive tests or cases and how they have handled that. Was the rest of the staff informed?
I'm sorry, Kathy, you cut out a little bit. Can you repeat the question?
Sorry. So the question is, I'm curious if any facilities have had COVID positive cases and how they've been handled. Was the rest of the staff informed? So this is a question for the group.
Okay, any...
I'm going to jump in there. I'll just mention Springfield. Whenever there's a COVID case, the entire staff is notified. You got to determine the close contacts or contacts of contacts. So there's full... you know, disclosure of who tested positive or who's a contact or who's a contact of a contact. And different people have different scenarios. The contact of a contact has a different scenario from a contact. So yes, there's full notification.
Mickey, it's Josh. I'll just add, there's also, you're required to do a posting as well. So it gets posted in the common areas as well. If somebody tests positive so that employees are aware.
Correct.
Well, that's really helpful. Thank you, Springfield. I don't know if anybody else has anything. I see the person who asked the question has posted a thank you in the chat. I'm not seeing any other questions, Commissioner, and I nor have any come in through my email.
Okay. Well, we'll give one more chance for any verbal questions. Okay, not hearing any. We have some updates that we will do to our website. We'll make sure that the links that Denny talked about are available to folks. In addition, as we get information either about the federal relief funding sources and how that's going to work, we won't wait until the next meeting. We would try to find other communications avenues to push those out. And similarly with the vaccine, we'll try to make sure that we're staying on top of it. I've been trying to regularly engage with our contact that talks to the command center, that's a liaison to the command center about these issues, and we'll continue to pursue that. So unless there are other issues, I once again want to wish everybody the best for the new year. Hopefully it is a healthier new year, and we'll make progress with the vaccines and progress in getting back to the things we used to the ways we used to do things before the pandemic. And in the meantime, DEP commits to staying in close contact with you and supporting the absolutely essential work you do. So I thank everybody, and I wish everybody a good day. And we will schedule another one of these calls. I think it's for February 3rd. Is that right, Kathy?
That's right.
We'll do this again on February 3rd. But again, in the meantime, if we have things, we will be certain to be in touch much sooner than that. So thanks again, everybody.